Hello and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires we call the internets is Joe Crazy Writer. How you doing today, Joe?
I'm doing pretty good. It's a nice, bright, cold day here in Minnesota. We're under a winter storm warning.
4 to 7 inches.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like my sex life.
Hey, it's the crickets.
Good. I just want to make sure they're around. And, of course, my beautiful wife is busy vacuuming, so she didn't hear that. Otherwise, you next heard you as she smacks me side the head.
Well, I think it'd be great if we heard the vacuuming because nothing more professional than vacuuming.
Yeah, how's that?
Glasses clinking and all the other stuff in the background.
Does that work?
That's how you know.
We're high quality.
That's how you know this is a professional podcast with professional sponsors.
Yeah.
Crazy Comics and Stories is brought to you by DreamHost.com. DreamHost.com is the best web host in the whole known universe. And you can get $20 off your first year by using the code CRAZY, K-R-A-Y-Z. That's DreamHost.com. Graze.com. Love snacks? Want something healthy? Go to Graze.com for healthy snacks sent to you every 2 weeks. And if you use the code CORYS3R5P, that's Corey S3R5P, you get your first and fifth box free. Crazy Comics and Stories would love to hear from you. You can email us at Corey.Strode@gmail.com, or you can call us at 952-856-0519. If you would like to buy advertising on Crazy Comics and Stories, you can, and the rates are reasonable. Please contact me at Corey.Strode@gmail.com. Thanks.
Not like some of those Smodcasts or Freaking, or what was the other, Comic Geek Speak or whatever.
There's Comic Geek Speak, there's WTF.
Yeah.
There's
even the Amish Baby Machine. Some of my buddies doing that, so.
I don't even want to know what Amish Baby Machine would be about.
Let's put it this way. There are
hot Amish women.
Let me put it this way. Now, are you employed yet?
I have not started the job yet, but I have signed an agreement.
Because there are several things that I will need you to do once you are fully employed.
Uh-oh.
Number one, you need to bring back your weekly news column.
I haven't done that in almost a decade.
For those of you that didn't know, Corey used to do was it email or did you post it on your website?
Both.
Yeah, and it was fantastic because, I mean, not only was it in the same vein that you would catch like Jon Stewart or Saturday Night Live, but it was also a lot of people would read this stuff, myself included, and go, is that a real story? And you'd be like, yes, it is. You know, because it's not something that would be covered by any of the other news, the real news people. The other thing you've got to do is you've got to get a web strip going again. Now, let's delve into a brief history of Corey's two web strips that I enjoyed thoroughly and both came to an abortive end.
Uh-oh.
Yep. The first one.
Thanks for making me feel good this morning, Joe.
No, I want to get you motivated. I want to see this again because the first one you did. Oh.
Asylum on Fifth Street.
That's what it was. And what was the synopsis of that? I just have a picture of you as the monkey.
Well, what it was a very, I'd call a meta strip. In that, the premise of the strip was there was this haunted apartment building, and various goofy and kooky characters lived there. But there was, in the basement, the artist of the strip and the writer of the strip. So the fourth wall wasn't just smashed. It didn't exist.
There were like eight walls here. You know, we're talking.
Well, what it was, the artist wanted to do a comic strip that she was in. So we batted around ideas. And one of the strips was somebody was complaining about a joke. So they go down to – so the artist takes him down into the dungeon where I use the Infinite Monkeys at Infinite Typewriters joke. So it's like, well, you know, you could take your complaint to the writers, open the door, and there were all the, you know, basically a room full of monkeys chained to typewriters. And you know the old joke, if you put infinite number of monkeys at an infinite number of typewriters, eventually at random, one of them will write the works of Shakespeare. So I use the to be or not to ebed. Damn it! Well, she liked that and said, well, let's bring that monkey in as the writer. And hilarity ensued.
Mm.
There was even merchandise I have on my, I have a bunch of shelves here, and I have the 2004 Christmas ornament with the monkey drinking a bottle of scotch saying Merry effing Christmas.
And that was a fun strip too, and she had a wonderful drawing style, very clean, very crisp, but it was not to be.
No, she, I won't get into details, but she quit drawing it.
She's kind of lost
quit drawing everything,
didn't she?
No, it was far worse.
Oh.
She quit drawing everything for about 2 years, and then she started two new strips.
Hmm.
And now she had another 2 year break and is talking about starting up again. But like a lot of artists that don't, like a lot of web strip artists and a lot of artists who don't have a outside imposed deadline, it becomes a lot of talking about doing stuff rather than doing stuff. It's kind of like with a podcast when you get long gaps in a podcast, and then you get, like, messages and stuff. Look, we're going to start the podcast again soon. Yeah, they're not going to start the podcast again soon.
Now, your second...
Speaking of, I'm starting the solo podcast.
I want to hear about your second strip, because you had a second web strip that went for a while.
Yep.
Another one that I enjoyed. And this one I remember the synopsis better, because I believe it was a radio station taking
TV
place
station
in a haunted theater.
It is the lowest rated cable news channel.
Oh, beautiful.
And
love it.
Set in a former theater. It wasn't haunted, but we did do a, because the artists love Transformers so much, we did do a story about how the TV cameras became aware. No, it wasn't the cameras. It was some other equipment became aware and didn't like what was being broadcast. And that one is not totally dead. What it is, when I started doing overnights and working so much, the artist broke his hand.
Well, that's a mean thing to do just because you worked overnight.
I know, but I didn't have much time because I was doing all of that. And it took him almost a year to completely recover.
Mm.
Now, he has his own web strip called Everyday Gods, which also kind of went on hiatus and is sputtering because he's gotten some paying gigs. And as he and I both agree, paying gigs take precedence over the stuff, put it out there and hope that someone buys it. But there are, let's see... There is about 3 months worth of strips that he has in his hands, and we're actually going to be meeting, oh gosh, in a few weeks, once I get completely into the new job and I'm working and sleeping at night, and we're going to figure out what we're going to do, because it's probably going to be a twice a week strip, and I'll have to reconfigure some of the stories, because I like continued stories, kind of like Doonesbury.
Mm-hmm.
But if they stretch out over, you know, a month and a half, 2-3 months, it's like any other thing where you go, what? I don't remember how this started and who's this person. And But that one will probably be back at some point. Okay. Asylum on Fifth Street, I don't even have the archives. Okay. I don't even have the old strips, which makes me sad.
How about your weekly news? Is that news there, or is it
It's on the website, but I've read it recently, and it's so dated.
Well, it is, because you
think the last one I did was 2005.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if you have the muse to get caught up in current events, or if Jon Stewart is taking that ball and run with it.
I'm toying with the idea of doing a short weekly podcast, kind of like a newscast.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got a lot
That's
of
code ideas. Word, people. It'll never happen. Remember?
No.
Go back to what Corey was saying. We'll be back. It's going to, it's like the Solo Joe podcast I've been bitching about for a year. It's in the works. It's coming.
Well, a lot of stuff got shelved when it was, I went back and I counted. Other than the week the 5 days I had in Chicago in October, from July 1st to my last day at the group home, I had a total of 7 days off. 3 of which were when I got sick.
Mm.
So, this week is kind of a reset button.
Mm-hmm.
My TiVo is now down to 94% full, which is a victory.
Yeah.
Because it holds, I think, it holds either 200 or 300 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So if I watch an episode of Raw, oh, look, I lost 2%.
I stayed up late last night. I watched, there's a show on PBS called American Masters, and it's generally like a 2-hour block of time dealing with, you know, a unique American, and they had one on Johnny Carson that I had seen and recorded number of months ago, so I sat and watched that, and it's fun to watch, you know, just kind of, there used to be a biography channel. I think Peter Graves had a show, Biography, on A&E back when it.
Oh, there's still a biography channel.
Yeah,
it's just now where they dump, stuff that's already run on all of A&E's other channels.
Yeah. And it's one of those that I'd have to pay extra for. And I'm really actually looking forward to just dumping Dish and going without Ooh. Dish or cable. Well, what was that thing you talked about a couple of
times? A Roku.
Roku. You know, I told my wife about that, and we're actually kind of intrigued by it. Right now we do like Netflix through our Wii, and we do, we could get Hulu and Amazon Prime through it if we want. The only thing is it's not high definition, and you know, you go from high definition to regular definition, and it's kind of jarring on the eyeballs. But it's just one of the things we're looking, you know, just dump that. We're trying to get into the 21st century, you know, where everything's online and you have a real good shot of one sunspot wiping out civilization.
I'm okay with that.
I'm not complaining. I've still got my Y2K stuff in the basement, and spam never goes bad.
I still have my machete for when there's a zombie uprising.
No. I thought you and Jin decided it was going to be the giant rats were going to take over.
Well, no, I saw that there, after humans are gone, giant rats will take over, and one of my friends is
I think it would probably have a lot of pet rats.
I mean, a lot of pet rats.
She used to make hammocks for them.
They were kind of cute. And it's, oh, so that's why she's making nice with the rats.
Now we get
when they take over, she'll be their friend.
Uh-huh. I still think it'll be a war between the rats and the cockroaches. And I sincerely think unless the cockroaches totally overwhelm the planet and get cannibalistic, the rats will probably win because they'll eat pretty much anything.
I don't know. I think if all life ends, there will be one person left, and that's Mickey Rooney.
Actually, I think what will happen is it'll be...
Roaches were happy with that. They like Mickey Rooney.
It's going to be a female, and even though her dress or her clothes are kind of torn and she's sooted, you could still see she's a female, and one gay guy. That's pretty much how humanity is going to end.
So Thursday was my last day.
Oh, so you got that blinking thing in the middle of your palm now?
Yeah.
You can pry it
My last overnight was Thursday night. And I was stuck once again with the sleep staff, which meant I had to do everything myself. And I'd only told a couple of the people who, a couple of the residents. One of them got up at 2 a.m. to kind of hang out with me. Because she did not say she was going to miss me. She didn't even say she liked me because she's a grouchy, you know, she's a grouchy old curmudgeon. But she got up at 2 a.m. and wandered down and sat next to me at the table and watched a couple of DC Universe movies with me.
Cool.
I finally have seen Superman Batman Public Enemies and Superman Batman, what is it, Battleground?
Mm-hmm.
Watched both of those, really enjoyed them. Battleground was the one with, it adapted the first appearance of Kara the Supergirl.
Ah,
in whatever
that was
the
Apocalypse.
That might have been it.
Yeah,
I don't
remember. I have that, that was the last one I bought on DVD before I started realizing they're mostly online. And yeah. Also, if you wait, a lot of times you could find it in the $5 bin around Christmas time.
Yeah, that's what I did. This was both movies on in one box at $5.
I did have a thing, and I might have even mentioned it. I don't know if we were podcasting when I went on the road. But when I was up in Wolf Point, Montana, I actually sat down with somebody who doesn't normally watch these, but he's into movies. And we watched The Death of Superman, and he really, really liked it. And I was telling him, you know, there's a whole bunch of these movies out. I mean, a lot of people pass by because all they're animated and that, but they're written really well.
And they put them in the kids section.
Yeah, which is odd. Because I remember when Batman Animated, or it was the Batman, was a Batman Animated series first came out, it was actually, they ran it for a while Sunday nights, opposite of 60 Minutes, which was a death knell anyways, but it was,
well, it was
so
Fox.
Sophisticated.
Stupid.
I mean, there were even episodes, I think, some of the Joker episodes, they were like, don't let your kids watch this because this is kind of intense. And, you know, my youngest, he really liked the Batman show. And I was like, okay, we're going to skip these next two ones. But but we're much better now. Heck, Batman Mask of the Phantasm was in theaters.
Yep. And we went to that because it was only in theaters for a week. But through the shop, we got an early premiere, if I remember right.
You do, because remember, I stayed at the shop and you guys went.
Oh, so you
weren't
there.
I have yet to see it. Although, after seeing the toy of the Phantasm, it kind of ruined the surprise. Because the figure is not wearing the mask, so you know right away who that is. Whoever the female is. And so when you see her on screen, had you seen the toy first, you'd know, oh, it's her.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
What I thought was, by the way, Joe, the movie's over 20 years old. You could spoil it.
I don't know the character's name.
When we went, I took my son, who was, let's see, he was six. He was either five or six. So he's sitting next to me, and he's ready for Batman. And Butch was behind us.
Uh-huh.
And Butch was, like, throwing popcorn at people.
Which is,
you know, and not big handfuls. Well, just take one piece of popcorn, and he'd toss it, and he was cracking wise and stuff. And my son stands up on the theater chair, turns around, and goes, you have to behave in a movie theater, or you'll go home. And Butch went, well, I guess he told me. And actually quit throwing popcorn and stuff. Because I had taught my son, when you're at the movie theater, you don't talk, you don't, you sit in your seat. If you have to go to the bathroom, you let me know. But you don't ruin the experience for everybody. So I raised my son well.
Yes, and I feel I've raised my daughters well because they have their own comic books and comic collection. Yeah. Now, if I could just get Dana to stop spending her money because she wants to go to Italy next year. Actually, later this year. So I'll have to look up Italian comic shops and see what she can find while she's over there.
A lot of fumetti. Speaking of Italian stuff, I'm going to do this ahead of time. This is one of my freakins.
Uh-oh.
I got together with one of my friends last night. We get together and we bounce ideas around. He has made a couple low-budget movies, and he's looking to make another one. And He's kind of thinking he wants to do kind of a parody of the old Beach Party movies. So I wrote up a plot synopsis and sent it to him. Because I think a good parody, you have to have a strong plot. And then you take the strong plot and you do the jokes from that. Kind of like an Airplane. They took the plot from a 50s movie and then just added jokes to it. Whereas if you see something like, a date movie or a superhero movie where they don't really have a plot, after about 5 minutes, you're looking at your watch going, if I call an assassin right now, they'll be able to make it to the theater before the movie is over.
And enjoy some popcorn before they kill you, yeah.
And kill me so I don't have to watch the rest of this piece of shit. So we watched one of the old Beach Party movies. And, boy, it was really clear that it was toward the end of the cycle. It was How to Stuff a Wild Bikini, the one where Annette Funicello's pregnant. So everybody else is on the beach in bikinis. She's wearing, like, mom clothes and muumuus, and you rarely see her below her shoulders. And Frankie Avalon was filming another movie, so they have, like, three sequences that they cut into the movie that are from the Gilligan's Island set.
Mm. Hey, they were pretty good with recycling stuff. I mean, I just found out apparently they in Gone with the Wind, the big Fall of Atlanta fire, that was the old King Kong set.
Yep.
They just torched that baby and let her go.
So we watched a movie after that.
See, folks, you learn things with this podcast. Your IQ points might have gone down at the first part of the conversation, but we were trying to restore it by the end, at least so it's break even.
So we watched a Christopher Lee movie that we'd heard of but had not seen.
Okay, this is the down portion of the IQ stuff, so bear with us.
And the movie is called My Uncle is a Vampire.
Oh, that sucks.
And we're thinking, it's Christopher Lee, it's 1959, they show him on the movie poster, kind of in the full Dracula makeup.
Mm-hmm.
So I will give you a synopsis of the movie. To pay back taxes, Baron Oswaldo is forced to sell his ancestral castle to a hotel chain and take a position as the bellhop. Among the first guests are his rich Uncle Rodrigo, Christopher Lee, from Carpathia. Oswaldo thinks his troubles are over. However, he's wrong because his uncle turns out to be a vampire. And hilarity ensues.
It did not say that.
Yep. Well, it didn't say hilarity ensues, but it was very, 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 very easy to tell that this guy was considered a kind of a, I don't know, a Jerry Lewis, Adam Sandler type, because there were all these sequences of him bumbling around with luggage and, you know, basically a lot of low rent comedy. And then the entire middle of the movie, he thinks his uncle has bitten him and turned him into a vampire. And we watched in stunned amazement that someone spent money to bring Christopher Lee in to make this movie. I really wish we would have just watched another Beach Party movie.
I'm just stunned listening to the synopsis.
Well, what, and Christopher Lee's like almost 7 feet tall, and the actor who was the lead, the comedy guy, is 5'2". So every time they're on the screen together, it's like, oh, look, it's Andre the Giant and Hornswoggle standing next to each other. So that's kind of how I've spent my my time that I have time off from work. It's weird. Is this what people do on their time off, Joe?
I think they watch the Olympics. I'm not sure because I usually don't.
The Olympics. It's a movement. And you need one every day.
It's good. It's good to time them too. I had mine timed right before the podcast. So you can't say I'm full of it.
Well, what have you been doing?
eBaying.
eBay?
Yep. As you know, my aborted attempt to get my comics in some semblance of order has morphed into a, more of a purge as I decide which comics I'm going to get rid of this fall at FallCon and which ones I'm going to keep. And as I do that, I will be putting various ones that might have a collector value onto eBay. And it's a lot like pulling, teeth because it's unpleasant and you never can quite make out what's going to sell and what isn't. Case in point, this week I'm concentrating on a bunch, books I put up before. A lot of 99-cent variants selling for $5. And of course, you, the listener, if you win something and you email me, I'll offer you free shipping. You don't have to take me up on it, but you can. You know how most comic store guys are. You know, we don't shower a lot, eat a lot, and tend to just live in the back of the store. Sometimes under the counter, sometimes in the window display. But anyways, so I'm looking online and, you know, a lot of times before I actually sell something on eBay, I like to look and see what it's selling for on eBay. Because you can use price guides. I don't even know if they make physical ones anymore. I usually go to like Atomic Avenue and look to see, because they always have a guide price based on what their advisors tell them. And then they also have listed price. So if somebody's actually listed the comic, for example, they have Secret Invasion number 4, the Steve McNiven variant cover, which I have one. They're saying...
It's intermission time, and it's fun time here at the Garland Road Drive-In Theater. Time for you out there to join us up here at the snack bar for plenty of taste treat enjoyment. There's hot dogs, long and delicious, with mustard and chili included, of course. Great big juicy hamburgers with all the trimmings. Barbecue beef, steak sandwiches, grilled cheese sandwiches, the best ever. And you'll find Pepsi Cola, Dr. Pepper, root beer, orange, grape, coffee, milk, or that delightful chocolate malt toddy here at the snack bar, too. Popcorn, a great big bag full, salty and crisp and crunchy, only 10 cents. Roasted peanuts done to a golden brown turn. Your favorite brands of candy, gum, cigarettes. Ice cream novelties of Eskimo pies, sundaes, sandwiches, and drumsticks. And your favorite flavors of snow cones, grape and strawberry. Don't forget now about those ice cold drinks, corny dogs fresh made, popcorn, hot dogs, and ice cold pickles. Be sure to drop by for lots of intermission time enjoyment, won't you? And right now, here's intermission time music.
You guys just don't realize the tough part Corey has to deal with when he re-edits this podcast.
Well, I have to put in the music. I have to put in the crickets. I have to take out when Joe says libelous statements.
Yep. And when you cough and sneeze and you know, it's a headache. But we do it because we love you.
Yeah, the residents at the group home, there's some sort of disease going around because every single day, I got at least one call saying, is there any way you could come in early and stay late and maybe come in the afternoon because people are calling in sick? And it's, no. This is my last week, and I'm already, what is it? I only worked till Thursday, and I put in 65 hours. Mm. No, I'm not doing more.
Now you can say
I'm done. I'm tired.
Leave me alone. All right,
now they don't call.
Where were we before it got cut off?
You were talking about variant covers.
Oh, okay. So basically, I'm trying to figure out what to do with a comic book. I'll go on Atomic Avenue. First of all, figure out what it is, who did the cover, things like that. then I'll go check and see, is somebody selling one on eBay and for what? The one thing that's nice about eBay is a great equalizer. Case in point, Detective 27, the infamous Frank Miller Catwoman cover. There's big controversy about it. Will it be published? Will it not? Discount Comic Book Service had it up, I think $15. I've never seen one in any of the comic stores in town. If anybody ordered whatever, however many you needed, $5. You can get it on eBay for $5 plus shipping, which, you know, should be like $3-4. So, you know, you may have a comic that's worth something, but eBay will tell you if it's actually worth something. And then you also have the problem of will it actually sell or not. So anyways, under the nom de plume of Crazy, that's K-R-A-Y-Z, I'm working in selling, you know, first relisting all these variants, and then I got to decide, do I have, you know, I have some comics. It's kind of like, are they worth listing or should I just keep them? Case in point, I ran across a DC series, which we've talked about before, called Solo, where they basically went to a artist and said, it's your book. Do what you want. I've got one from Tim Sale, Richard Corbin, Jordy Burnett, Damian Scott, Sergio Argonis.
Oh, the Sergio book is so good.
Yeah. And I know I bought these probably in a quarter bin. I might have bought them at Hastings when I was hanging down in New Mexico for a while. So just to read. And then I have to decide once I read them, am I going to keep them or not? So that's what I'll be doing from here till FallCon. And not everything that goes up is necessarily a, like remnants or something. I mean, occasionally I'll find something like, I just sold a CD, if you can believe it. People buy them.
This really?
One, yeah, this one's called Adventures of Superman. It dates from 2000. And I had it in the shop. And basically it's the original television soundtrack. The main title, the brawl, spectral thumps, the battle, you know, just 72 minutes of just money or music from the Adventures of Superman. Now this particular disc, when I checked it out on eBay to see if it has a value, apparently it does. It's a collector Ooh. Value anywhere of like $30 to $50, depending on who you're buying it for. I'm not greedy. I put it up for $20 with free shipping, which is basically what I was trying to sell it for when I had Hot Comics. And it sat for a bit and finally sold. So someone got themselves a deal. So, you know, check it out every so often. I'll list on our Facebook page when I post things. So you never know, you might see something you like. As I do weed through my collection, I keep coming up with just some of the most obscure, odd titles, and I thought I'd share a couple of them here with you. Corey, have you ever heard?
See if I know them.
Okay, how about Sam and Max?
Not only do I know Sam and Max, the trade paperback. Sam and Max Hit the Road
mm-hmm.
is in the bookcase right by my bed. It's one of those books that I read a lot. And the video game from the early 90s, I was so sad when I put it in in my laptop. And the game is so old, my computer won't play it anymore. Oh. I love that game. I love that book. I'm happy for Steve Purcell that he was able to make enough money off that and animation that he doesn't have to work in comics anymore. But, oh, I wish he was still working in comics.
Mm.
For those Sam and Max was the funniest damn book.
That don't know.
That, oh.
Sam and Max, again, they were stars of the comic book, an animated
Freelance
series,
Police.
The video game. They're ultra hip. Sam,
they
the
had
dog
a cartoon
is a detective,
series.
A gumshoe, a Seamus. Max, the rabbit, is a hyperkinetic hare. They protect the world from the forces of evil, like the Rat Kids. You know, conversation we had earlier. The Roaches. Fritz Numke. I love the name. I just love saying the name. And Skippy the Demon. I have the Kimiko Sam and Max Freelance Police Special. I think it's from 88.
Probably.
No idea where it came from, but just one of those fun books, like you said. And if you want to hunt down individual copies of the various comics from various publishers, do it, or just buy the book. The book. Do you remember one called Sacrifice Trees?
No, I think you finally stumped me.
Well, David Watkins is going to smack you across the head when he sees you because...
Oh, wait, no, I have that.
Yeah, I knew you would.
It was an anthology, right?
Yep. And it's one story tells of an angel, Zechariah, cast out of heaven, who can only return by performing 1,000 good deeds. Another short story, a mysterious man known throughout time as Donovan Crane travels about doing God's work. The title mixes religion, violence, crime, punishment, and some degree of humor. And it's kind of hard to pigeonhole. There were only two copies. The one I've got, I've got number one from fall of 1994. And again, it's from our buddy David Watkins. He might even have copies because he's usually at Spring Con and Fall Con. So you might want to pick one up. Two were apparently done. I don't think I have a copy of number two. And this was one of those I know I had in the shop and sold. Well, if I didn't sell, I had it in the shop. So I get bonus for that. Okay, how about this one, Corey? The Trouble with Girls.
Love that book.
Yep. See, I only stumped you once. This one, Trouble with Girls. A couple different series from different publishers. The one I got is from Eternity. It started in 87. Will Jacobs, Gerald Jones. And it's about the legend of Lester Girls. Those of you thinking it might be a misogynistic tale. It's a tragic tale as Lester, girls, cursed with dashing good looks, immense wealth, and unbelievable sexual escapades and a life of adventure. He tries to cope. All he wants is a quiet life of contentment, a yard, a station wagon, enough time to catch up on his reading. So this one is probably one of those you'll have to look real hard online. They're not expensive, but, trying to find them is tough. Sometimes, as we've talked about, the books that aren't in demand are harder to find than other ones. This one's pretty cool. I must have kept it just because of the cover, number 19, where he's screaming at the reader, "Golly, I'm being sucked into a comic book." And this apparently is the origin of Girls' Trouble, or The Trouble with Girls. So
it did well enough that Marvel picked it up for a while through their Epic line. There were a few books that Marvel and the, after Archie Goodwin went over to DC, I think in either 89 or 90, where Epic went out, they picked up that. They picked up Xenozoic Tales, which they called Cadillacs and Dinosaurs.
Mm. Which Sam they used Max as, had a special from Epic.
Yep. And they had a book that I read. I just reread this week that the author says may be the lowest selling Marvel comic of all time. Oh. He's wrong.
What is it?
Hollywood Superstars by Mark Evanier.
We all knew Gru was the lowest selling Epic book of all time.
No, Gru was not the lowest selling Marvel book of all time. The lowest selling Marvel book of all time, Joe, it had two issues.
Oh.
Street Poet Ray. Which was some New York rap graffiti guy drew two issues of a comic. And I remember picking up the first one and going, I read a lot of alternative comics. I read a lot of indie books. I don't know what the hell this is. It looked like children's drawings with crayon lettering.
But at the time, if you didn't pick it up, you were no one. It had a lot of buzz going for it.
There were a lot of no ones because I remember Marvel came out and said, yeah, this was kind of a flop. We printed 10,000 thinking that it would sell, to sell outside of comics. It didn't sell outside of comics and inside of comics. It sold only 2,000 copies, which was Marvel's lowest selling book ever.
And now it's probably their highest selling.
No. It's still.
Yeah, but Detective 27 was the only book that went over 120,000.
I haven't looked at the sales charts yet, but I know that Marvel Now is doing pretty good. They're happy with it.
Well, they might be happy, but again, the only book that went over 100,000 in January was Detective 27. That was the headline. One book.
Ah.
So, every so often in my collection, though, I do run across things that even I can't find. This one, I couldn't find on Atomic Avenue. I did find some copies on eBay, though. This is called, you probably never heard of this guy, The Spirit by Will Eisner. The first 93 dailies.
Oh, yeah, that where they there was a comic strip.
Yep.
And Kitchen Sink was reprinting it, reprinted the comic strip as a comic book rather than what they did with other things, which was like the Lil Abner books where it's, okay, here's 2 years' worth in one big book.
And the weird thing about it is that it doesn't really say who published it. They do say, I've got a number one, like you said, the first 93 dailies. I got a second print of it. It was done in 1980. Inside the front cover, they do advertise for four more and two Lady Luck, volumes. And there's a note from Will Eisner talking about daily strips and why it was difficult for him and how it died. It's printed in black and white with enough detail to actually enjoy the art. And I don't know where I picked this sucker up. Again, there are copies on eBay going for silly money. This one being a second print and probably I would say anywhere from very good to fine shape. I'll probably do what I normally do. Pop it on for 99 cents with a buy it now and see if anybody's interested. Because it is fun reading, and like you said, I don't know if the daily spirits were ever
I have not seen them in a book.
Yeah.
I have not seen them in a book.
That could be why they're so expensive on eBay.
Yeah.
The last one,
I do remember that comic.
Though. The last one I'll share with you, I don't know if this is a book, if it's an ad. It's called Whatever Happened to the World's Fastest Man? It might be a graphic novel. It feels like one of those Baxter books, you know, like the way Dark Knight was published.
Yeah.
It's from Accent UK out of 2009. And it reads kind of like across, I mean, the inside it's a comic book, but around it, it sounds like it's more of a newspaper.
So like
being an actual newspaper talking about what it is. And, you know, it's one of those things that kind of tickles my memory as to why I bought it. But I don't know why. I haven't read it yet, so it's one of those. I got to decide, do I want to read it or just kind of get rid of it?
Yeah, read it, then get rid of it.
Yeah, it's all good. Now, lest you think that I'm just sitting around selling stuff on eBay, I did buy a couple things.
Now, Joe, I have some questions about setting up on eBay.
All right.
So it's kind of a Tales from the Shop thing. But not, current shop.
Towards the end of the big shop, I would spend usually Mondays, sometimes Thursdays, putting things on eBay. You know, it was kind of a catch-22. I could spend a lot of time doing eBay, but I needed a lot of time to do the shop. Most of the time, I would just put on, like if we had a super cool variant or something, I would pop it up and see what I got for it.
Now, first off, when you set up an eBay store, about how much work goes into that? What do you need to do? Because I buy stuff on eBay.
All right.
And I've sold a couple of things on eBay, but setting up a store is a little intimidating.
Well, you got to go back to the beginning. First of all, if you want an eBay account, they are free. You can go online, set one up. The usernames are tough because, you know, like anything, like, you know, Gmail and Hotmail, all the good ones are gone. You'll also have to do a PayPal account. Now, initially, PayPal accounts, personal accounts are free. But if you do any business on eBay, you'll have to set up one level above, which means they take a cut of the action. If you're going to sell, if you send money to people, you can send money for free. You register either a credit card or a bank account, checking account. So they take the money out of your bank account, and then they'll send it to like someone like myself. Or if you have a PayPal, they'll put it on your credit card, or if you might have PayPal credit, you know. So either way, you got to have PayPal, because unlike Amazon, you can only use PayPal, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, on eBay. There are ways around that, but not too many people do it. So you got to set those two up. They're pretty straightforward. You know, if you can download a podcast, you can certainly get that set up. Now, as far as an eBay store, that is a monthly fee. I believe you can set up a basic eBay store for like $15 a month. And what it does is it gives you kind of a website URL that you can direct people to, and everything is there. I can search your store. I can look at it. I know a lot of people that have, for a while, eBay was like the place to be, and a lot of people set up eBay shops, and I did quite well with an eBay shop. And when I got on the road, I closed it. And in the interim, there are people that say, well, I do better with my own website. I do better on Amazon. You have to decide how much time and effort you want to put into one of these things, because really you're the one promoting it. As you know, I pimp it, my eBay stuff here. I'll mention it on my Facebook. I'll bore you on the Crazy Comics and Stories podcast page about it. But the store, again, if you just want to let it sit there, it gives you a separate front to do. If you really takes off, you can jump up different levels, gives you different levels of support and different areas you can look at. Back when I had the store, the big controversy was is that they did not put store listings in the regular eBay listings. So if you went to eBay and you searched, say, Spirit, the first 93 dailies, it would only show you people that had auctions or buy it now on eBay. It wouldn't show the stores. They've since changed that, so now that it does correspond. But eBay, you know, being a public company, they're always trying to nickel and dime you. I did notice recently, as they started putting stuff up, my listings don't automatically show up in eBay UK. I have to pay an extra $2 to do that if I wanted to do it. So forget about it. You know, it's not worth the $2. I figure the guys on UK, if they're really looking for it and they can't find it on their UK, they'll come over to the normal eBay site and look for it. So they're always looking for nickel and diming you on things like that. So you got to kind of be wary of that. In order to sell on eBay, you will have to register a credit card, because they will just bill you and put it on your credit card. You know, with everybody hacking credit cards, good, bad, I'm fairly indifferent about it. I just, you know, make sure I keep an eye on what's going on. There is something though on eBay though that you might not want to do a store. And this is kind of where I'm at. You have the option when you're putting something on eBay of either selling it in an auction, which is what I do with a lot of the variant covers. You can set it as a buy it now, which I did with the Superman CD we talked about. And you can also set it so that it goes for 30 days, and when it's over, it just goes for another 30 days and keeps going on and on. That's kind of what eBay wants. They want to become more like Amazon, which is kind of weird, because in the beginning, Amazon wanted to be like eBay. And eBay basically, anybody set up an auction site, eBay trounced them. Well, the paradigm has shifted. Ooh, do I sound fancy? So, I better have a drink to that. So now it's like everybody wants it now. They don't want to bid on things. The effect on eBay has been kind of dramatic, because it used to be you could go to eBay and look for really unique and fun things. All that's gone. They've pretty much driven away the small sellers. And now it's kind of like Amazon. Oh, I don't want to say minus, but that's kind of what I'm feeling, you know. The collector area is still pretty good in terms of buying comics and selling comics. It's just as like I said before, you may have a comic that's worth $50. The guide says it's worth $50. You know it's worth $50, but you're going to get on there and find some guy selling it for 10. And what's worse, he's not getting 10 for it. So you have to decide if it's worth your effort. I tell people anytime you want to sell something on eBay, look first to see if it's worth your effort. Now for me, I'm just blowing stuff out because I'm trying to make room. I figure in 11 years, I can do something called retire.
What is is that where you put new tires on your car? Cause the old ones are just about gone.
Pretty close. So while Corey, you know, Googles that, and by the way, Corey, put your safe search on. Nasty. Anyway.
You're not a big fan of granny porn?
Oh. But you have to decide, you know, like I said, I'm just doing it to blow it out, raise some money, let somebody have the book I want. eBay/PayPal generally take anywhere from 20 to 25% of whatever you're going to make. And they do that with eBay fees and then PayPal fees. And it's just the way it is. I mean, as a business, I gave, and to take your credit card, I had to pay the credit card company a piece of the action. To take your check, I had to pay the bank a piece of the action. To take your cash, I had to pay a piece of the action. There's no way out of it doing a business. It's just the way you're going to have to do it, you know.
Well, and it was the same when you had the store, too.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty much what I meant. Either store, you know, the banks don't do it for free with businesses. You may be getting free checking, but believe me, they're taking it from somebody. And to me, it's just a cost of business. You can track this stuff if you want. If it really takes off, you want to treat it like a business. Again, for tax purposes, for hobby purposes, I think you're only allowed to deduct whatever you make. So if you made like $600, you could declare $600 in expenses, but you also have to have it all documented. And everybody on eBay and Amazon is documenting their sales 100%.
Oh, of course.
Current tax laws. The latest thing that's going to might muck things up is all the state governments and are licking their chops because they want to get a piece of that internet sales tax action, you know, so they can go out and spend it already. And that is going to be a headache when you're talking in the Twin Cities area alone, you have state tax, St. Paul has a tax, Minneapolis has a tax, some municipalities have their own tax, Ramsey County might have a tax. It changes. I can go a couple miles north and get a 6.5% tax rate. I stay in St. Paul, I do 7.5. I go to Duluth, it's 8. You multiply that by 50 states times God knows how many municipalities. So the big fight's been going on. There's some type of internet tax coming down the pike. It's just the states are busy badgering Congress. You know, we want to maximize it. And Congress is looking at the states going, you got to simplify. And, we'll see where that battles out, but that's something you're going to have to pay attention to as well. You may be a tax collector. Jesus wouldn't eat with tax collectors. No, wait, he did eat with tax collectors. Either way, if you buy.
He only got mad at the people who were, in the church selling shit.
Oh yeah, yeah. He didn't like that.
That's the one time he got really mad. So,
he did like
when
tax
you go,
collectors though.
So, it's like, the big mega church that my son's graduation was in. That's a shopping mall with a auditorium in the middle of it. Yeah, I'm not a biblical scholar or anything, but when I walk in and I see, you know, here's a store that sells Christian clothing and Christian books and Christian food and on, I just think to myself, you know, I think Jesus wasn't real happy when people were doing this back in his time. He must have put out an addendum that says it's okay now.
He could have, you know.
I don't keep up on these things.
I try not to either. I just have my buddy Christ right next to me giving me a wink and a thumbs up, and I feel better.
Big old thumbs up. I had him on my dashboard until he kind of melted because the plastic isn't the best in the world. And even though it gets cold here in Minnesota, boy, it can get pretty hot in the summer.
Yeah. Isn't that what we talked about, those goofy covers from DC back last September? Melted? If they're
yes.
in the sun. See, we do have continuity in this podcast. Not much.
Yeah, I got more than DC.
Any other eBay thoughts or questions you have?
Well, one of the things that always gets me is I enjoyed eBay when it was auctions. That was when I loved going on eBay. It was almost the thrill of the chase. But also, if you were smart, you could get stuff fairly cheap. It seems that when I search now, most everything is a buy it now with no auction.
That's what eBay wants. They kind of killed the golden calf that made them, you know, by pushing away all the odd sellers. You know, they got this idea that, you know, they were kind of the junk garage sale of the internet. And that's what also made them unique, because that's where people would go. So they kind of discouraged it. They kept raising fees, you know, because being a public company now, they got to feed the shareholders. And they really drove out a lot of the small sellers. A lot of the small sellers have since gone on to other niche areas. I talk a lot about Atomic Avenue, you know, where you could go and list your comics if you wanted. We haven't hit our sponsors yet, but DreamHost.com, they can set you up, make your own website. Some people still use eBay. I mean, if I do set up a store, I'll use eBay as a feeder to my regular store. And that's kind of what I did when I had an eBay store, is I would do the auctions, and then you'd have a little icon that said you have an eBay store, and I'd say, if you're looking for other things, check my eBay store. You know, kind of cross-promote. So, and I used to get this email daily from an email site that actually monitored different online programs and places you could sell stuff. And they always talk about how people, you know, I used to use eBay and now I don't. And I went and did my own sale and, you know, I get to keep more of my own money. I don't know if you've noticed. I don't know if you've ever been somewhere, Corey, where a guy pulls out his cell phone and runs your credit card across it.
Yes, they do that at the convention.
Yep. You can now set up your own merchant account to take Visa, MasterCard. I don't know about the other boys. So you don't have to. I think back to like when Pat and I first started our shop, 1992. Used to be you had to be in business a year before you could even apply to run Visa, MasterCard. Pat and I got around that because he was working at a bank at the time, and so he was able to talk to the guy doing it and run it through.
And you had the old machine where you'd put the
knuckle buster.
You put the credit card in, and you put the paper with the carbon paper, chunk, chunk. And I worked at Schinder's. Schinder's was a big operation. If it were a charge over a certain amount, we would have to call a phone number to see if the credit card was valid.
Yep.
So if somebody brought up a credit card, a lot of the time you just kind of roll your eyes. And I think they had a $25 minimum on credit card purchases.
Yep. Not legal, because you're not supposed to do that. But a lot of small business.
But it was Schinder's.
Well,
most of the stuff they did wasn't legal.
I did it. You know, I requested a $5. Even though you know, wasn't supposed to. But, you know, and the thing was, by the time the shop was over, and definitely when I got Crazy Comics, you had people calling to offer you credit card deals. I mean, it was, God, I wish I could remember what we paid like 9% transaction. And by the end of the decade, you would be doing it as low as like 1.3%. And that's money they took from the merchant. that doesn't count if you were dumb enough to let your balances roll over so they could nail you an 18%. Believe me, I have very little, patience for credit card companies when they, oh, we're not making money, we're losing money. Sure you are, idiots. So, you know, now you can go to, I was at Costco and I was looking, they have the little device you can hook up to your cell phone and be able to run a credit card. You know, if I go back on the road doing the, comic shows, like, which were more prevalent back in the 90s, you know, I could see very well doing that. You know, there were one or two shows that I remember where we took credit cards and we had to do, like you said, Corey, we would do the knuckle buster. I would have to go outside and using, you know, my cell phone that was the size of a lunchbox, hope I could get a signal to call and get an approval for everything. You know, because, you know, there are people and I'm one of them. I wander around a con. If I see you take Visa, MasterCard, you know, yeah, I got cash in my pocket. I don't know if anybody takes a check anymore, but, you know, you take Visa, MasterCard, whatever, Discover, American Express. I think those are the big four. You might have my business. So it's changed a lot. And it, you know, if you do get some eBay going and you want to do it, eBay will now allow you to take, as a merchant, you can take Visa, MasterCard, whatever. And that would be, instead of running through PayPal, you would give me your number, however we would do it. And I would just run it. And then I mail you your item.
There you go.
We haven't even talked about mailing. Maybe we could do that some other day. We'll talk about what to do once I sell you something. Because that's a whole nother argument. I will share briefly though, as I said, yeah, seriously, if you folks got any questions on eBay, selling stuff like that, send them to Corey or myself and, you know, cause you can contact us various ways and we'll definitely, revisit this subject if anybody's interested. But, just briefly mention, I picked up a couple things off eBay because now I'm kind of moving more towards selling, because then I'll sell and I'll have some money in my PayPal account and then I can turn around and buy more stuff. So I swear I'm never going to get rid of this stuff. Anyways, I picked up a Supergirl head sketch. It's original full color art by a gentleman, Joe Picard. He is, if I can find his biography here. He was a characters designer and an animator in the field of video games. And after deciding that a lifetime of video game design was not for him, he now, through his website, joepekar.com, that's Joe, J-O-E-P-E-K-A-R, he turned to his passion of drawing girls, computer art coloring, and he does Naughty Girls. Even has a volume, Naughty Girls Volume 1.
Ooh, so you can check girls.
It out. And Corey, we're gonna see if Corey's brain skills are up and running. Do you remember when Homer Simpson designed a car for his brother-in-law that bankrupted his company? What was the name of that car?
I don't remember the name of the car, but you have said that it is the car itself is available.
Yes, and I already gave you the name of the car. It's called the Homer.
Oh yeah,
and
okay.
I finally picked one up and it is the funniest frickin' thing I have ever seen. Barring the Invisible Woman plane one I got from San Diego via eBay a couple of years ago. I gotta get another one because I really want to open this sucker. And it's funny because again, these are one of those things on eBay where prices are dropping. The first couple ones were going like for 50, 60 bucks. Now they're hovering around 15 bucks and they'll keep dropping. And, it'll be interesting to see. Maybe I will find one on the rack at Target. See, now this would be a case like if you happen to run and find one at Target or Toys R Us or wherever your shopping choice is, that'd be something to toss on eBay right away. You could probably get about 10 bucks for it. Not bad for a 99 cent Hot Wheel.
There you go. Well, Joe, we've come to the time of the show that you enjoy the most.
Oh, sponsors.
No, we did that already.
No, we didn't do any sponsors.
Yeah, we did early on.
Oh, you kicked them in?
Yeah.
Oh, so I didn't even get a chance to talk about SpringCon.
SpringCon?
The comic book celebration. May 17th and 18th, coming up right around the corner. Minnesota State Fairgrounds in the grandstand. It'll be, 840 minutes of fun, over 100,000 square feet of extreme comic book action. And admissions only $10 for the both days.
If it's extreme, do I get to put you through a table?
Well, they're the fair's tables, and they get kind of cranky when you bust up their stuff. But if you do bring a can of food for the food shelf, they'll take $1 off admission. So you got five people, bring five cans of food, save yourself $5. And I have not been able to get a hold of Nick. He is being very elusive, so he must have some things cooking in the pot.
Or he just doesn't want to talk to you.
Well, no, that's not true, because he did send one of the con guys, Mike Fragon, out to get him some chicken pot pies. So nothing good could have come of that, but he did, talk about it. So mark those dates down, May 17th and 18th. I imagine Corey and I will be running the charity rummage sale / whatever we call it booth.
And I'm just going to put a plug out there. If you've got stuff hanging around your house you want to get rid of, bring it. Now, it doesn't have to be comics.
No.
If you're getting rid of DVDs, if you are addicted to the Home Shopping Network and you're buying stupid shit off there, if you're watching infomercials and you bought 12 Flobies 20 years ago,
and I'm still bring for it. A ShamWow if you have one.
They're from Germany, and you know the Germans make good stuff.
Yes, and they never hurt anybody.
That's right. Ooh, the Germans. No, I'm scared of the Germans.
So, yeah, what you can do is, contact Corey and myself. You can either send it to us or send it to the con guys. The nice thing about it, because 100% of the proceeds that we shuck and jive you out of go right to the charities involved. This year, again, it would probably be the Minnesota Lupus Foundation and the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund. Your tax laws may vary, but it's a tax deduction. So a couple of, we can't really do clothes. We could do.
We do t-shirts.
Yeah, t-shirts. But I mean, I don't want somebody showing up with large amounts of clothing, because we wouldn't have any way of processing it. And we've had guys bring in record album collections. We've had VHS collections.
And the record albums, they went unbelievably fast.
Yep. Yeah, people were digging through the vinyl.
That was frightening how fast they went away.
If you got some Ultraverse trading cards, Pogs, whatever. You got variant covers that aren't selling worth anything like I do, and you don't feel like eBaying, bring them in. You can usually deduct whatever you paid for them when you do your taxes next year. Okay, I think we've beaten that to the ground.
Okay. So are you ready, Joe?
Hang on. Wait for it. Okay, I'm ready.
Freaking a geeking. Joe, what you freaking on? What's bugging you? What don't you like? What are you seeing that you go, ugh?
Well, again, the only real thing I'm freaking about is my poor wife. She's got a cold. She's got that crap that's going around and is really, really wasting her. Although not enough. She did do a good job vacuuming earlier, so.
Well, it's about time.
But I feel bad because she's got it, and now I got to be careful because I don't want to get it. It made for an interesting Valentine's Day. Corey, what are you freaking on?
Well, the first thing is I know somebody posted something about DC recently.
Again?
And I realized, the only DC book I'm reading is Batman 66. And that's very weird to me. It's almost like I'm regressing. Because when I first started reading comics, we talked about this last night, because on MeTV on Saturday nights, they show the old Wonder Woman show, which I still have never watched.
Mm-hmm.
And Tommy was talking about how, when he was a kid, it was one of his favorite shows, not just because it was a superhero, but because he had a thing for Linda Carter.
Now you're talking.
And I said, well, I didn't watch the Wonder Woman show. Oh, why not? Because it was a DC book. And I didn't read DC when I was a kid. I was a Marvel kid. And I still remember the first DC comic I bought was it was an issue of Batman, and it said on the cover, written by Gary Conway and Roy Thomas. And I was like, well, that's where they went. And Gene Colan drew it. Well, we're now to the point where I'm back where, you know, I buy a lot of indie books and stuff, but I'm not buying anything from DC. And that's just kind of weird to me. You know, I'll pick up American Vampire in trades when it comes out, and I hear Trillium is really good, so I'll probably still buy some Vertigo stuff. But that's just kind of weird. It makes me feel like, I don't know, I think if this continues, I'm only going to be buying reprints from Marvel in about 3 years, because I go from... That's all I bought from Marvel when I first started reading, and now it's... So I hope that doesn't happen.
I'm just looking at my list here of books I want to get in February. And I've got, let's see, I got down the Justice Leagues because they're kind of the end of the Forever Evil crossover. Probably stick with Constantine. I kind of like him because he's kind of an SOB. The last issue of Superman Unchained, which will be number 9, which doesn't really matter because we're not really, I think issue 3 just came out. God, Jim Lee, you're always on time.
And it's canceled, by the way.
Oh, that could be why 9's the final issue.
Yeah.
I'm doing Batman.
And they didn't say whether it was canceled because that was Jim Lee's last issue or the sales have been way under what they thought it would be.
Oh, yeah, they make it sound like it's still coming to the dramatic conclusion. I'm picking up Harley Quinn. I don't know if I would read it, but my daughter likes it, so I'll keep doing it. And then again, Batman 66, Adventures of Superman, which I gawked about last couple times. And I am picking up the Sandman issues, although I don't know why, because I'll probably turn around and pick up the hardcover that comes out. I may stick with Justice League. Justice League of America's canceled. I haven't decided on Dark yet. Dark, as long as Constantine's in it, I probably will. But Justice League I'm going to stick with just because who's doing it? Jeff Johns? And he kind of has some cred with me just because of the fun we had when he was doing Green Lantern. So I'll stick with it and hope he's going somewhere with it. It's kind of like when I see Hickman doing Avengers and Bendis with X-Men. I'm hoping they're going somewhere with it. You know, so they got my attention, and I'll go with them for a while. What else are you freaking on?
Well, I have left the old job, and it is a change. I mentioned to people that Thursday, everybody, oh man, you have Thursday off. It's like, no, I work 9 hours on Thursday. It's just I was done at 9 a.m. And I slept on and off part of the day, and I thought it would be hard for me to do the switch. Nope. By about 11 o'clock, I was so tired, I just kind of wandered in, collapsed on my bed, woke up at 6. But the reason I woke up is why I'm freaking. My cat was headbutting me repeatedly.
Well, somebody got it.
And not in a... You know, not in a, oh gosh, I like you way, but more in a bam, bam, bam. Cats are creatures of habit. She is used to me coming home, getting my stuff in the house, sitting at the computer, taking care of things, and then going to bed about 7 to 8. And I think she was probably like, you aren't supposed to be in this bed right now. This is my bed. I want you out. I'm also freaking about the fact that we're recording this on Sunday. We're supposed to get 4 to 7 inches of snow today.
Tomorrow, well, overnight.
I am so glad I don't have to go to work tomorrow because
I'm off too.
They were trying to make tomorrow my first day, and I said, I need a week to reset. And they were perfectly fine with that. I think I've told the story when they called to offer me the job what their first question was, right?
No.
The first question was, well, if we offer you this job, are you going to keep the overnight job? No, I don't think it would be a good idea for me to work from 10 at night to 6 in the morning, come home, shower, get to work at 8, work till 5, come home, sleep for maybe 3 hours, and then go to work again. I didn't say that. I said, oh, no, no, no.
No, 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 no.
But I said, you know, it's going to take me a little while to switch over to days because I've been on overnights for about 2 years. And they were, oh, yeah, that's perfectly fine, perfectly fine. We understand. But tomorrow would have been my first day. It's like, oh, I'm so glad that I don't have to drive through 7 inches of snow in rush hour traffic for my first day.
Why should I buy Star Wars from Dark Horse if it's just going to go over to Marvel soon?
To get the end of the stories you've been reading.
They're kind of pointless anyways.
You know, that's what people said when DC was going to reset. I really like Star Wars, the Brian Wood book. I am getting the Star Wars.
Continue it or just can it and go over.
I imagine it'll be where every, kind of like they did with the other Disney stuff, it'll end and then Marvel will pick up. And I'm wondering if Marvel's going to do like Dark Horse does where, okay, we're going to tell stories way in the, way, way, way in the past. And in this gap and here and after all the movies and during the movies, which always confuses me because you pick up a book and they don't really give you a good clue as to where it fits in.
I wonder if they're
or if Marvel would just have one series that, okay, Star Wars 7 has come out. We are going to do stories set in that world.
Yeah, because it sounds like if Disney's going to have their fingers in this one, that they're going to it sounds like they're jettisoning for the most part the expanded universe. You know, it'll be there, but they're not going to do it. They don't feel bound to stick with that tight continuity that they've developed over all these years. Which it couldn't be cool. I never found the point of watching Clone War episodes because we all know how they all die in the end anyways.
Well, hey, when we get to Freak Geekin', I've got some news on Clone Wars.
Oh, okay.
And really, that's about it for what I'm geeking on.
Freaking on.
No,
don't mention
Joe.
I'm geeking that one of my favorite all-time columns is back. The Law is a Ass by Bob Ingersoll. And I said that right because that's from is that a Charles Dickens quote?
Yes.
And it's on comicmix.com under columns. You can also access it if you're pals with him on Facebook or on the Tony Isabella column because he posts his stuff there. And Bob is a lawyer, and he started writing a column for the Late Comic Book Buyer's Guide about how the law was dealt with in superhero comic books. And, you know, granted, he does say, yeah, it's a fantasy, blah, blah, blah. But he's like, you know, it's kind of like his pet peeve. Well, not really a pet peeve, but he just says he believes that the law in comic book stories should be at least realistic as possible. It's kind of like when you listen to the people who practice archery and they really get mad when they see like Arrow and Lord of the Rings and all these other people shooting bows in ways that just doesn't work in real life. Looks good on Hollywood, but it just ain't real. So it's fun. It's looking good. He's made a promise. He's going to visit the Superhuman Registration Act. He says that the law would be logical but necessary the way Marvel Comics is. However, the way it existed, it couldn't have existed that way in Civil War. Although he's not going to do it for next week's column because he had a superior idea. So I'm just giddy. I liked reading. He was one of the high points when he was in Comic Buyer's Guide. So I'm looking forward to see what he comes up with. The other thing, speaking of Charles Dickens, I've been downloading all these freebie classics on my phone and reading them. And I just started reading Great Expectations. Never read it. Not even the classic illustrated version.
Wait, Great Expectations?
Yep.
I was a little disappointed.
Not that great, huh?
The cricket's like that, Joe.
Yeah, well, no, I'm going to delete it and I'll read something else. The importance of being earnest. I don't know. But anyways, there's just with all these free books online, I may never pay for a book again. So they're always telling you, oh, you should read the classics. Well, now maybe I'll give it a try. Free is about the right price. Corey, what are you geeking on?
Well, there's a whole bunch of Marvel Now books that have come out. And a few other things.
Did they come out now?
Well, they came out on Wednesday.
Oh, I gotta go get them now before the snow hits.
So, well, first is a non-Marvel book. I don't know if I'm geeking on it yet, but the first issue was okay. The Gold Key characters that Valiant had and then went over to Dark Horse, now they're at Dynamite, which is where all licensed characters go when they die.
Oh, I'm feeling nauseous.
And the first one is Turok Dinosaur Hunter. And I read the first issue. It's by Greg Pak, who did Planet Hulk and World War Hulk and some really good Hulk stuff. The first issue was a nice setup with a really, really, really cool twist at the end. And I know that you were a big Valiant fan. This is kind of a new take on the character. The only problem I had with it was that, okay, the origin is going to be spread out over a bunch of issues. But it was a good first issue. It brought you in. It set up the world. There were some interesting twists, and with the big twist at the end, it's, oh, I want to read where this goes. Let's see. Wolverine got another new number one.
Yay.
And it's an interesting start. Wolverine has lost his healing factor. So he's trying to compensate for that. The author is Paul Cornell, who's written a lot of Doctor Who novels. But the one that really surprised me that there were two that really surprised me that I really liked were the first issue of The Punisher and the first issue of Loki, Agent of Asgard. Punisher is, they've moved him to Los Angeles. They've gotten rid of a lot of the interaction with superheroes, which I don't think really fits with The Punisher. But when I picked up the first issue and read it, it really felt like a well-written Mac Bolan Executioner book, which is what The Punisher kind of was a knockoff of. So it was a good Punisher story. I think there is a need for that sort of action adventure that's not tied in with 50 bajillion crossovers. And to me, Punisher never really works as a series when he's tying in with the Marvel Universe proper, because he's just a guy with a gun. So, you know, he gets punched once by Spider-Man, he'd be in the hospital. But when you keep him in his world, it works really well as a character. And Loki, Agent of Asgard, was a lot of fun. If you've been reading Marvel's Loki stuff, he basically, when all the Norse gods came back, he came back as a child. And it's, the first issue gets you all set up with that, gives you the whole new version of Loki, which is a little, you know, it's a lot like the movie. And they even deal with the fact that Loki was called the god of evil. No, he's the god of mischief. There's a big difference. So he's kind of doing secret missions for some Asgardian gods. And it's kind of a light, humorous superhero book. And I'm really excited about it. I really liked the first issue and I thought it's going to be a lot of fun. And then the last book that I picked up that I really, really, really liked was Haunted Horror. And it's a comic I didn't know existed. They're up on the 9th issue, and I actually have ordered the previous 8. It reprints old 50s horror comics.
The horror.
And I'm a sucker for that stuff, but it's it hasn't been reprinted before. And it's not as good as the EC stuff, because nothing is as good as the EC stuff. But the guy who does it, Craig Yeo, does a lot of comics history books. He did a fantastic book that you might like, Joe, which collected all of Frank Frazetta's funny animal and humor comics from the 40s and 50s. And Haunted Horror is from IDW. I don't know if they're going to collect these in a book or you're just going to have to buy them as individual issues. But if you want to see what 50s horror comics were like, this is a cheap way to get your hands on some semi-decent stories. So that's the stuff I'm geeking on. I'm also geeking on the fact that I've had time to play with my Roku. And I would say by the end of February, you're going to be able to listen to this here podcast on your Roku.
Neat.
And you're going to be able to listen to this podcast on your cell phone. So you got that going for you.
Which can be nice.
But I'm looking through a lot of the free movie channels are all showing the same movies. It's more the little obscure things that I really like on the Roku. And then next Monday, here's what I'm really geeking for.
Uh-oh.
Joe, what happens next Monday? The WWE Network goes live.
Oh. And we should promise we will still try doing the podcast, but no guarantees once that is live.
And we may do a second podcast, Joe. I'll talk to you about it when we're done recording, but I've got an idea.
Oh, geez.
Now, I was going to go. Mick Foley is in town Saturday night because Saturday night Mick Foley's doing a comedy show. Mm-hmm. Then Sunday night, the Elimination Chamber is at Target Center. And then Monday, the WWE Network starts, and I start my new job. I was going to go see Mick Foley. Both shows sold out.
Yeah. I can't and get off Saturday, which kind of sucked.
Well, they had a late show.
Mm-hmm.
That was at 10, and I thought you might be able to go to that.
Oh, I would have. If I'd have known that, I'd have gone.
And the Elimination Chamber. Oh, I'll go see it. No, because I could just sign up for the WWE Network and watch it on my TV the next day.
Yeah.
For my $10 a month.
We checked in the tickets to that, and I think all they have left are obstructed views.
Yeah. So that's what I'm geeking on. Well, believe it or not, kids, you've wasted an hour and a half of your life listening to us blather on about funny books. And as we say every week, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic you like the most. Joe?
Well, I feel like dancing, but my wife, the one with the bad cold, is sleeping quietly. So hit my music, but keep it down a bit. Call my mama.
Funk is on a roll. Funk is on a roll.
Hey, 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 y'all. Can somebody call my mama? It's about to get funky up in here.